Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host as always. And today we are joined by Gladwood Noe, a dynamic full-stack digital marketing strategist and practitioner known for his results-oriented approach. Thriving in startup environments, Gladwood has honed a robust skill set in marketing and digital strategy with a relentless growth mindset. His career is marked by self-discipline, adaptability, and a knack for process optimization, which have propelled his ventures forward. A continuous learner, Gladwood holds an MBA and has made significant strides across various marketing disciplines, especially in performance marketing. He holds something insane like over 50 licenses and certifications in various skills and methodologies. And I've asked him to come here to join us today to share his story and insights into digital innovation and marketing success. So Gladwin, thank you so much for joining us. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, hi there. Thanks for having me. I'm good. How about you?
I'm good. It's an honor and pleasure to have you. We had a little chit-chat pre-call. Everything's cooled down. I was sweating profusely and took a shower and we're all good, ready for, we're both feeling the heat wave here. Before we get into all of that, Gladwin, how did you even get into marketing? Is this something your parents are into? Is advertising and performance-based marketing and sales in the blood? Is this a family trade that you've gotten into?
Not really. Actually, I major in mechanical engineering when I'm in school. So probably that is not something that you would tie with marketing. But how I came across marketing is that along the way in my university days, I got in touch with entrepreneurship. So I got a minor in entrepreneurship. And during that, I'm interested more in the social entrepreneurship side. And that's also as I know about businesses, entrepreneurship, and even the social enterprise side. I realized that marketing is very key. Like you can have the best product, but if you are not able to do the proper marketing, then we have seen a lot of failed examples of good products, but bad marketing, and then they just don't get anywhere. And marketers, as I know it, are not cheap to hire. And that's what I feel that like I might need to hone a good marketing skills for myself so that I can do it myself regardless of what I do in the future. That's how I slowly get myself to read up more about marketing and have my first job, fortunately, to do like marketing as well.
Got it. I love it. So you understood marketing was key. How did you get into that field? You learned about entrepreneurship in university. Did you just start by going, I'm going to collect every license and certification as a marketer that is offered for sale on the planet? Was that the conversation you had with yourself? How did you start to learn and find your way? Because there's so much, I know as someone who's been through it, there's an endless amount of books and an endless amount of courses, and there's so much stuff to chew through, and 80% of it gets you nowhere. That's my opinion. What was your journey like?
Yeah, so I didn't start off, how to put it, that it's not a typical marketing where I learn very basic marketing. I started off learning. I did not do it in the end because I just don't feel it's something that I'm comfortable with. But I started with all this, put it in a way, the get rich quick marketing. And I feel that they come with the best marketing, right? Like the kind of tactics that they use. And along the way, as I read more, I get to know the better experts, like people like Dan Kennedy and more. And that's where I continue like taking courses, reading books, that is as I filter the good ones from the not so good ones. That's where I slowly hone my skills. And in my first job, I also have the opportunity to dive into SEO. It's something that I've read up, but I didn't have practical experience. And then the agency owner that I joined gave me the chance. And that's where I have more practical experience, and it goes from there.
Got it. So you married Dan Kennedy's direct response marketing. It's not Dan Kennedy's. A lot of people were doing it before.
Yes.
But Dan is he is like the jump point for an amazing number of people. I mean, you go back. Anyway, he is the GOAT in terms of helping spread the trade of direct response marketing. I should probably say that. So it sounds like you married direct response marketing with SEO. Is that kind of where you cut your teeth, so to speak?
Not quite. They are quite different, just that I started to learn more about marketing. And then at that time, SEO is also one of the highly sought after skills. And also it's when I did it is during that chaotic periods where you have all the animals name coming out, the panda update, the penguin update and all that stuff.
Right.
And I fortunately managed to find my way and nailed it by just helping people to rank their
Right.
websites pretty, at the time, I would say pretty relatively easily. I just maybe found that secret sauce, which I don't think is applicable now because it has changed so much since then.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I was like, I hope he doesn't think I'm a jerk, but I was gonna be like, oh, so you think it was chaotic then, so it's not so chaotic now? And that's
It's just different. I think probably at that time is maybe also easier. There's more tricks around it. But now, as AI and machine learning are smarter, we really have to focus on the content rather than too much of the technical side, which things like link buildings that happens 10 years ago is not really applicable now.
yeah, there's a lot. The fundamentals, to a certain extent, are still there. Google's never going to reprimand you for making original content people love and can and want to consume. But yeah, I fully understand. I fully understand what you're saying. So, what were some of the biggest challenges then, if in learning, like navigating your way? You were going through the get rich quick people got you first, and then you learned out who the real people to follow were. And what, it was just something clicked in your head and it was all sunshine and rainbows and the pearly gates of money opened up to you and it's just been raining cash ever since. Is that, no? Were there lessons to be learned? Were there?
Yeah, so the thing is that fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, most of the time I'm the only marketer in the few early companies that I joined. So I have to depend on myself. I have to depend on the books I read. That's where the challenge come in that I'm not proud of, which most of the time I'm the smartest marketer in the team just because I'm the only marketer. And that is the challenge that I have. But along the way, really having all this like mentors that I know them but they don't know me is helpful to guide me along, and I also have the trust of the people that hired me, my managers, to give me the support and trust for me to experiments and then yeah learn through those experiments that they allow me to
Right.
do.
So what would you recommend to someone who's starting out and struggling now? Maybe they're where you were when you're first trying to figure out, how do I do this? How do I get it to work and pay for itself and even make a surplus of profit? What would you recommend to someone who's just trying to find their way now?
I would say try to start action faster than readings. So for me, I used to read a lot and I waited a lot. Like there's a lot of procrastination, but at this age, it's better to start. So I've also been fortunately be able to be a trainer for a period of time. And some of the advice I give students as well is that like instead of spending X dollars, like maybe $1,000 to join a course, you might as well take $500 to do your own experiments before you attend a course so that you have some practical experience, because a lot of times the courses can't keep up with how things are changing. Like for digital marketing, it's so dynamic. And now with AI, it's even worse. Like today, a new trick, tomorrow, the new trick or tactic might be obsolete. So,
Yes.
and even like depending on where you're based, a lot of these things you read because of just how maybe certain parts of the world, like the US, is more established in terms of digital marketing. The kind of research they say, okay, like maybe this kind of images works best, or this type of posting on social media works best. It's based on that data set, which might not apply to you. So the best you can do is, or you're in an industry that is very niche, maybe you're in a very, very niche industry that nobody's really have enough data, right? Most of it is based on e-commerce data and things like that, right? So if you can't follow them because like data, it's the results that they show is only as relevant as what you're doing. You just have to figure your way out, and through learning, it's the same as how I look at it is it's the same as trading. You can do paper trading for 10 years and it might seem like you're expert, but once you use your own money, the whole psychology and mindset changes, and that's where you really learn from it, from real life experience.
I love that. I think that's a fantastic tip. I would add on to that to really be focused on who your buyer is, where's the money coming from, and who are those people making that decision, and to get as close as you can in person as you can and have conversations with them as much as you can around the topic matter. Because that's one thing, it's an uncomfortable admission for me that I, in my career, I've spent way more money than I want to admit. Way more money than I want to admit, and way more time pushing people to websites and looking at heat maps and recorded sessions. When if I had just picked up the damn phone and talked to people, or just been in a room of these people and talked about it, I would have saved myself thousands of dollars and months of time. But oh, and so I fully agree with that learn by doing, do your own experiments. And the only other thing I would say is get as close as you can to in person as you can with your customers and have 100 conversations with actual potential customers about the thing. And then take those learnings. I think that's fantastic tips. Even university courses now, kids in university, by the time they graduate, half of what they've learned is obsolete and all they have is student debt. So I agree with that. I agree with
And I
that.
fully agree, just to add to that, is that a lot of marketers, they think that they can just do things behind the scenes. But like you said, the best marketers are the ones that talk to customers, pick up the phone, attend sales consultations, ask questions, work with your salespeople. And those are the marketers that really understand what kind of things they are creating and the impact that they have and how they can learn and adapt to what actually is the customer needs and not just that looks very nice.
100%. Some of the most famous old school gurus cut their teeth doing door to door, knocking on people's doors and around dinner time, trying to be like, hey, and people are like, I'm busy, slamming doors in their face. And they got really good at getting the attention, getting the hook to keep the door open, getting the person to hang out there, getting them to open up about the pain and the issue, bringing in and demoing the product and overcoming objections and making some sort of deal with this person. That's a do or die. Most of the best people I know have that experience somewhere. They had the belly to belly, kneecap to kneecap, toe to toe, having to like real world results. And then they transfer it into just a different medium. And then the multiple stages, like before we can sell them, we got to get them on a call. And before we get them on a call, we got to get their interest. And so to get their interest, we got to do this. And then we have their interest. And then we can talk about this. And then maybe if they're interested, they'll have a call. And it comes down to a lot of people skills in a lot of ways, and which means you need to work with people. So I love that. I love that. What are some of the most important specific skills or behaviors that you think are important for marketers and those and advertisers to improve or develop?
Yeah, so I've worked with a lot of different marketers and most recently a lot more on the performance marketing side, which is where I'm focused mostly on at this point in time. I'll break it down into it's something I've shared in one of the talk I've done previously. It's the A, B, C, and D of what I consider as a good to great performance marketer. So first of all, for A, right? Like for me, A is about accountability. It's something that is really they have to own the things that they're doing and be interested in things that go beyond. So, if, for example, they can't just say focus on the ads. They can't just focus on the platforms on ads, the ads platform they're using. They need to understand the quality of the leads. How is it? Are they converting to sales? I know there's a lot of people who say, okay, as a marketer, my job is just to generate the leads and it's up to the salespeople. I'm not in full control of it, but that
Right.
is just not having that accountability and ownership that we work together as a team. It's not about sales and marketing, but it's about the company and the business and the revenue that you guys can bring together. So that alignment, that ownership to ask deeper questions is where I think that's the first part about accountability. And then the second is about like business acumen, as I put it, is that they have to understand that it's not just about ROAS, return of ad spend, but they have to understand what's the lifetime value of the customers? Like how long it takes for the customer to close? Like what's the cost of service? And is there other causes for the business? And from that, if they understand business acumen, that's where they can optimize based on what is really important. You can have the highest ROAS, but if your cost of service or your cost of product is really high, you might actually be making a loss from
Right.
it. So that business acumen, it's the second thing that is I have. And then the third is C, which is to me is about creativity and communications. So creativity comes from both ends, that one side on the creativity is more of you need to have an eye for design. You might not need to be the best designers, but you need to be able to differentiate a good from a bad designs that is done by your designers. And then the other side of the creative is that given things are changing so fast, You have to always be creative with new ideas and not be in the box, right? You have to always, like I said, think out the box. And then the communications is because you have to communicate with your clients, your leads, your salespeople, internal stakeholders. So that communications of how to prove what you're doing and also to get insights to help in whatever marketing campaigns you're doing is also very key for that.
Right.
And then the last D to me is about being detail oriented, because for performance marketers, you deal with a lot of numbers. And you might say that, hey, it's just one number, but that number is very important because it could be a missing, like you might set your campaign to be supposed to be $1,000 and you just accidentally add one more zero. And like the next day you wake up, like, oh, I
Yeah.
just spent 10,000 in a day when I'm supposed to spend 1,000 a day. So I think that detail oriented and being data driven, it's probably something that is quite crucial as well to be a great performance marketer as compared to a good performance marketer.
I really love that 100% with the data driven. I think they're all great because accountability is huge. And it's not just about the one thing, it's about the function of the business as a whole. Business acumen, you know what you made me think of was one of my best friends, Jermaine Griggs. He's been a multiple time guest on the show. He's like the GOAT in direct response database marketing. I don't know anyone that's better than him. He's phenomenal. But one thing I remember, he was doing this promo and on the checkout cart, he had an upsell, or he had a bump, like a checkbox to get the subscription. And most people would have it auto-checked. And what I loved about it is he was really clear about why he didn't have it auto-checked. He said, "I know I would get 20%, 30% more subscribers if I just leave that automatically checked. People will just check out and I'll get them more." But what is the difference in quality of customer and loyalty? And the lack of chargebacks and refunds and that, by making it so people have to actually intentionally opt in. And that is a thing that a lot of these profit-seeking parasites won't understand. Like, we listen, I want to make money as much as the next person. But there's a certain, you talk about business acumen, there's a certain long-term point of view. And this guy was really, and what I love is just that just speaks volumes. I'm waxing poetic on it now. But just he has the business acumen that, yes, you need to have the right lifetime customer value. You have to have the right ROAS. He did one campaign once where his EPC, his earnings per click, was over $300 because he segmented so well and pre-sold and confirmed and then only sold to that group of people that were like the cream of the crop. And it was like a masterful thing where almost everybody he promoted to sold because he had segmented so well and it was such good permission-based marketing. And it just what that does, it's you just the business acumen, it's the numbers, it's that, but it's also that piece. I don't even know what to call it, but I think bad business acumen, that's what it made me think of when you mentioned that. I think this is that's a great list. What are some of the biggest mistakes that you see marketers making?
Yeah, it's, I think related to what we've discussed so far, I
Yeah.
think the biggest mistake is you in your own isolated box. Just looking at, keep looking at your data to say, hey, like, how can I increase my click-through rate by 10%, 15%, even 100%, but you can increase your click-through rate, but if your quality of leads is still bad and nobody generates revenue, it doesn't, you don't know why the leads are not good, and you just focus on the numbers that you see on the dashboard that you have. So I think that is the biggest mistake that people, and to be honest, a lot of performance marketer, at least from how I look at it, we are not that extroverts to go out and talk to people. Most of, there's a reason why we are looking at numbers and why we are data driven, because most of us, probably, I might be wrong, but we are introverts that likes to stay and on the screen. But that's what you have the opportunity to know what's going on. And that to me is probably the biggest mistake that people
Yeah.
should do.
Yeah, I love that. Are there any other mistakes that you see a lot of newbies making or people when they try to get into here and do profitable digital marketing?
I would say the other one is what I think we have previously shared as well, also about the part about always thinking that you are not ready to try. Always thinking that there's the next shiny object or there's next shiny certification that, yeah, I had that previously when I was much younger, and I feel that, hey, there's always so much I can learn, and then I keep learning and learning, I not applying them, and not applying them comes down to two mistakes again. One is that you don't learn from a what you put out there. And second thing is that a lot of all these things, yes, some of the marketing is evergreen, but there's a lot of more tactical stuff that you learn and then it's obsolete. I might learn about how to do Friendster marketing. If you know what is Friendster like 10 years ago, then if you learn it then on MySpace, right? Like you learn how to do those and then you don't apply them. And then now, like a few years later, it's no longer relevant, right? Now we are talking about TikTok, like short videos. Last time we might be looking at long form videos, but long form video seems to be coming back a bit as well recently, but it just changed, right? So the trends move so fast, and if you just keep reading and not looking at how to apply them, then I would say that most of the things you learn will not be really helpful and just be, lack of a better word, a waste of your time.
Yeah, I love that. You reminded me of when a buddy of mine, I was nervous about a campaign and I wanted to, like you said, I was like, I got to read this next book, or if I do this next course, I'll make sure what I'm doing will work. I don't want to ruin it. And I remember he sent me this message and he was like, eyeballs must be sacrificed. And he was just talking about, you just got to put it out there. You got eyeballs will have to be sacrificed. No, it's, you can spend all, I later changed it differently in my martial arts school. I say movement over meditation. The one thing a monk will never tell you is that movement is better than meditation, because you can meditate on it all day, but till you get out there and rubber meets the road, you don't know what's real and what's going to happen. So I think that's a great tip. Get out there, learn by doing. Don't procrastinate by learning. Don't make that mistake. There's a basic amount of knowledge you need to know, but you're going to learn a lot by doing. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, because also sometimes also I think luck plays a huge factor in this, because just take a, for example, running Facebook ads. Facebook is also guessing, right? But maybe you're targeting 1 million population, but Facebook is guessing who to send the first 5,000 impression to. If they get it right in the first 5,000 impression, your campaign will scale. If they get it wrong, then it burns some money. And sometimes something that is not working, you just duplicate and then you run it again. Hey, it works now. Things, there's like probably 101 or thousands of different moving pieces that we can't get all of them. But it's about how do you put yourself out there and then treat it as a bit of primary research or investment in learning. I think that is where it could help you to move faster.
I think it's a really important thing that you mentioned is it's an iterative process. I know his name now, but he was an affiliate marketing guru, and he said when the ad is good enough, the keyword doesn't matter, because it was all about demographics. Like when the ad is good enough, the keyword you're using in Google AdWords doesn't matter. It's the demographics that matter. When the ad is good enough, the keyword didn't matter. So even when you're talking about you'll duplicate it in Facebook and run it, it's really about the targeting and the timing in a lot of respects. I remember one of the first campaigns I did that did over 1 million. We did a JV launch first and we got about 600 buyers. And this is 2015, I think, 2014, 2015. So it's 10 years ago now. But boy, I took that buyers list and I uploaded it to Facebook and I did the tightest lookalike. It was a new feature that had just come out, and I did the tightest lookalike I could do. And it gave us an audience, like you said, like of 1 million people. And we ran ads to it to put them in the same funnel. And I set everything, I took what had worked and I automated it. I set it up to run as an automated event every Saturday. And so there was like a pre-event sequence. And if you came in on Thursday, you missed the Monday, Tuesday stuff, but it was unlocked already. Like it was like an automated launch, essentially. And we scaled that and did a couple of million dollars with that. But one of the things to speak to what you're saying is I noticed there were pockets as we were scaling through that lookalike audience. Different, we would have like, I don't know if it was like there was a Super Bowl happening or political, but it was the same sort of supposed targeting. But we would have ups and downs where it would work better and then it really stopped working, but then it came back and then it didn't. And when you really have to figure out how to make it hit, I had another client that we did added $1 million to her bottom line. And we did 80 different tests for target market and hook and all these kinds of things you combine. And at the end of the day, what was like a license to print money was a women over 55 who like Deepak Chopra. That targeting, it almost didn't matter what we said to that targeting. There was just money in that list. And that was another one. Even my martial arts school, I did 11 different hooks. For people that don't know, 11 different reasons why to buy. lose weight, get in shape, learn self-defense, compete and win, this thing. And I had five target avatars, target markets. I had a university students, stay-at-home moms, working professionals, fire and rescue personnel, and military, because we were in a military town. And what worked best was free fighter fitness and skill assessment to university age males. That was a license to print money. UFC was really big at the time. And even then, this is the real golden tip for people listening. We tested it online, but I was in a small town and there was only so much online traffic. And what clicked for me one day, I don't know if someone told me or I just thought of it, it's so long ago now, but I started going down to the university and walking the street in my coach shirt with a clipboard. And I would just say, hey, do you like MMA? Yes. Oh, would you be interested in a free fighter fitness and skill assessment? Yes. Oh, name, email, phone number. And I would collect 70 leads in an afternoon and have to take a month to follow up with them all and get them all to come try out my classes, because I took online, I tested it online, and when it worked well and I knew the hook and I knew the who, going to them directly in person was just like gasoline on a fire. It was fantastic. It was very good. I rode that group train for a while. I definitely love that. So where do you think things are going now in the future, though? We've got all this disruptive technology, geopolitically things are happening. Where do you see things in 5, 10 years?
Before that, just to add to the lookalike, I think that is maybe I link back to the other questions that you have regarding like the mistakes, right? I think the other mistakes from what you say is also the assumptions that marketers have. Like sometimes they are too fixed-minded about the assumptions that only this kind of audience work, right? Only male will buy, only female will buy. And sometimes it's a female product that male want to, the male will be the one buying, or the female product, but or the other side is a male product that the partner will be buying for them. So yeah. You never know, or even lookalikes, right? Some people say, oh, like the tighter it is, the better. But I've done enough tests to say that different campaigns at different time will require. Sometimes 0 to 1 works. Sometimes 5 to 10% work better. So you never know, right? So that is something that the assumptions that I think marketers have to be more open-minded with what they see out there, and maybe from their own experience, not be too stuck with, they've tested 5 years ago, and then now they say, I should always go 0.1%, but things have changed, the market has changed, time has changed. So yeah. I think that is probably the other mistakes that, from what you said, it just triggered me to think that, that the assumptions part is.
That's a great point. I had an AdWords campaign that was working well. We had something like a 4x return on ad spend, and the client had some, they spent a ton of money on inventory without checking with us. We're like, we got to pause the ads. We just spent all this money on inventory. And blah, blah, blah. And so we paused the ads, and then 2.5 months later, they wanted to turn them on, and we did. And it wasn't, they thought it was just a light switch, like off, on, off, on, off, on. And then no, like we had traction and we had ownership of these places and the auctions and all that. And now you shut it off and now we got to go back. Like things have changed. Like that's really important too. Don't kill, what is it? Don't kill a gift horse. Don't look a gift. I don't know where the saying comes from in English, but they're like, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. I don't understand what that means, but it essentially means don't disrespect something that's working. Just, yeah. So I agree with that. And testing. It's what you're talking about. What I'm hearing from you is you start with a small set of assumptions and you run a series of experiments with a beginning and a finite beginning and end. And you analyze the data and you follow the data of what works, but you don't stop constantly testing your beliefs. So even though if you're doing something and it's working well and it's scaling, you don't just go 100% in on that. You maybe go 90% or 80% in on that, but then you're still testing other things because you don't know what you don't know. What you might be winning because some influencer right now is talking about that thing a lot, and all of a sudden it dries up and everything disappears under your feet. Is that a fair assumption? Is that similar to what you're talking about?
Yeah, so it's all about the 80-20 rule again, right? So you should be always maybe spending 80% of your budget on running what works for you, and then always have that 10-20% of always trying new angles, or even noticing like what you say, right? Like what's happening around, is this influencer or there's this big news or celebrity or some global economical kind of news that came out that you can maybe, they call it news jacking, but you can like trend jacking and all that stuff. You can definitely make use of that 20% to test all this like latest news, latest insights that people have been providing, or whatever that is changing around the world.
Yeah, I agree. So now I'm going to ask my other question again. Where do you think things are headed in the next 5, 10 years? And we've got so much automation and so much technology coming out. There's a lot of censorship happening online. There's issues people are having with data privacy and different, that a lot of people are leaving some platforms for another. Where do you see things in 5, 10 years? Where are you looking? What do you expect?
Yeah, I think it's something that probably everybody's saying, and I just want to add to that is on the AI side. I think we can't run away from AI. It's similar to maybe, I think some might have really shared this, but it's like how calculator first came out and people feel that AI is going to replace some jobs or whatever, or all these machines. And this is something that we have to embrace, put it in a way, and look at how we, instead of looking at or fearing that we'll be replaced, I think there's a lot, because designers' jobs might be a risk, copywriters' job might be a risk. But instead of looking from a fear perspective, can we look at it from an opportunity standpoint? Okay, now with AI, can I, previously I might take 2 hours to create a design,
Right.
but now I just need maybe half the time or even more. And the good thing about it is that you are the expert, right? So you does have more knowledge than somebody using AI to write copies who is not a copywriter. So if I'm not a good copywriter, how do I know that what kind of prompts to use? How do I know whatever is generated for me, it's good enough? And that's where I think they have to elevate and see, how can I use AI to save me, but I'm still the expert, right? I think AI
Right.
is very powerful for maybe people who have at least, I would say, 5 years of experience and above, just
Correct.
because you have enough context, you have enough experience to decipher what is good and bad and continue iterating. I think AI is about iterating, man. Continue iterating and say, oh, can you write it in this way? Can you improve in
Yes.
this manner? But if I come in as a fresh grad that I know nothing about copywriting, then how do I even know, okay, is this a bad or good? And some experiment I did is, because ChatGPT, you can create like a custom GPT, right? I create a bad a ChatGPT, a custom GPT, just for fun, to say deliberately give bad copywriting tips, right? And then I just passed to people to have fun, and they didn't know that it's bad copywriting, because they thought, okay, if it's AI, I assume it's good,
Yeah, I
but they
assume it's
just tell you
better
everything
than.
opposite. So that is where I think people who have at least some experience, this is your time for the next 5 to 10 years to see how you can use AI to further learn more things, as well as how can you use that to your advantage, because you are the domain experts. And instead of fearing it, like, how can you work together with a bit like Iron Man, right? Iron Man, he has all this additional tech stuff, and that's how he's able to know how to use it well
Right.
and to his own advantage.
I love that. It's a great picture. The Iron Man of digital marketing. We're gonna be, yeah, I love that. I love that. I love that. Gladwin, this has been such a great call with such good insights. I've got like a page of notes here. Is there anything I haven't asked you about yet that I should have asked you?
Not that I
Okay. And
know.
if people want to learn more, if they want to get in touch, what are some of the best ways for them to reach out?
Yeah, so you can find me on LinkedIn, and yeah, I think my name, fortunately, is quite unique, so I should be the only one. And then I bought my own domain, just
Okay.
gladwingngor.com, and I redirect to my LinkedIn. So if that's easier, also just go and like gladwingngor.com, and then you'll be redirected to connect with me on LinkedIn.
Got it. So what's the domain again? Sorry, say it one more time.
My name, so pretty much my English name, Gladcom. So GladwinNGO.com, and then you'll be redirected to perform.
Got it. So if people want to go, you can either search on LinkedIn or go to GladwinNGO.com, and that'll redirect you to his LinkedIn profile. Or you can search for him on LinkedIn. You know it's him if he's with Crimson Education out of Singapore, NGOWEIKANG Gladwin, GLADWIN. So No Wei Kang Gladwin. That's his Chinese name mixed with his English name and others. So NGOWEIKANG Gladwin. No Way Kang Gladwin. Find him on LinkedIn or just go to GladwinNGO.com and check him out. Ask him a question. He's got the goods. Again, Gladwin, thank you so much for your time today, knowing you've got your own followers, your own direct reports, your own people to talk to. Thank you for coming and sharing with my audience and I so we could all do a little bit better.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and hope you guys will be able to learn something from my sharing today.